invitation, and that is seeing you all, being here with you all, and thank God for that. Just came in and shook some hands. Didn't get a chance to shake every hand that I wanted to. Shake some more hands between the services and then shake some more hands after service. And as Brother Shan said, there are some that are not going to be here due to illnesses, and we can understand that. And it probably is a good thing that they choose to not come simply because they don't want to get everybody else sick along with them. But I'm so proud that the young people are with us in the Bible study this morning. I know there are other groups that are meeting and having lessons on their own level. So for the younger people to be here this morning, that is a good thing, really good thing. I had one thing in mind. Well, let me say this as a preface to the whole week. I was talking with Mike the other day, and Mike was asking me, he asked me about the theme. He said, what is a better better? And I told him a better better is a better better. You know, so that's basically what it is. It is a better better. But you'll understand what a better better means, or what a better better is, when I explain it a little bit more. I'm not going to deal with the theme lesson until tomorrow night, the better better. And the reason why I'm not going to deal with it until tomorrow night is that I am anticipating that others from congregations in the neighboring area is going to be here. And I'm hoping and trusting that that particular concept can be shared with other congregations in the theme message. However, I'm going to be dealing with some things regarding the better better in this morning service, and then in this evening's assembly, and the morning service, the Bible class here, and then this afternoon. So just put it on the back burner. Tomorrow you can move it to the front burner and turn up the heat so that we can have a gainful study of what does or what is a better better. Now, number two, I had another thought in mind that I was going to share with the congregation to kind of get us. In fact, I'm going to go ahead on and do that. And I was changing subjects simply because the young people were here, and I did not want them to feel that time was being wasted, or that I'm talking about a subject that is above their heads and maybe just too specific to an older crowd. But what I want to talk about this morning, I think can also bring them into what we wanted to share initially. Ladies and gentlemen, people are asking questions. They are asking questions, and they want to go to a reliable place where they can get at least a reasonable answer. They are asking questions, and in that they're asking questions, then I believe that we have to have answers. Peter does say, be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks it, you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. And so we are encouraged to be able to give an answer for the hope. Now, when Peter says, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is in you, we have to understand what Peter is saying when he says for the hope that is in you. Peter is basically saying, earlier you said, let nobody suffer as an evildoer, let nobody suffer as a busybody in other people's business, but if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. Therefore, be ready always to give an answer to every man that is asked, that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and with fear. So I believe, ladies and gentlemen, and including the young persons that are here too, that we must be able to give reasonable answers to situations and questions that come up. Now, in a few seconds, I want to explain why I'm going this way. But I'm going to also tell you what is going to be the subject of the first sermon this morning. The sermon this morning for our corporate worship service is going to be Mother Nature, Human Nature, and the Divine Nature. And there's good reasons why I'm going to be dealing with that. I see you all have some panels missing on your roof. I know there's a lot of devastation that happened in this area, and that people are asking questions about Mother Nature, about human nature, and the divine nature. And I believe that they're asking questions, and we ought to have an answer. We must not wag our heads and wring our hands and say, I don't know either. You know, you don't have time because you've lost an opportunity because people are asking. And I know they have those kinds of discussion because even for the young people, that people talk about things that end up in the groups of the young people, and they're saying, well, why all of this? Well, someone said that this is the end of the world, that and these are end time things, and you know, and if you just chiming in with that and you don't have a good answer to give to them, then you've missed an opportunity. So we have to be able to give an answer and understand Mother Nature, human nature, and the divine nature. That's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. But then there is not a bigger situation, but there is a little bit broader concept that is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I've dealt with it with you all before, maybe just in a very shallow way, and not as deeply as I want to deal with it this morning, because people, we are in the middle of a lot of stuff that happens in our lives, and it happens in our lives in an ongoing way. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes. What do you all think about the book of Ecclesiastes? Now, you don't have to have read the book of Ecclesiastes. And now some of you, especially young people, may have not read the book of Ecclesiastes, so you're not to be excluded from the discussion, because the book of Ecclesiastes is such a book that you can discuss it without really really knowing a lot about it. Number one, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, everyone, anyone? Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. All right. The book of Ecclesiastes, why was the book of Ecclesiastes written? Let's answer that question. Why do you think, and the book of Ecclesiastes, yes?
To show that you can spend a lot of time in life chasing after vain things like wealth and wisdom, popularity,
okay,
power. All those things are a dead end. All
right. And so one would say that Solomon depicts the vain pursuit of heathenistic desires. That's exactly what he said. All right. That's exactly what he said. Okay, anybody else? Let's ask the question then. Where do you think Solomon was when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Not where he was longitudinally, nor latitude, but where he was emotionally, or where he was mentally, or where he was spiritually when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes.
Towards the end of his life.
Towards the end of his life. So we would say that Solomon was an older man when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. The reason why I want to look at this morning is because once again, there are people that are coming. And in many senses, they are knocking on the door of the church. And they are asking questions. And if we are as baffled about life as they are baffled about life, then we got to do some reevaluation. I'm not saying that we got to know everything and have to have it all clarified in our heads, but we got to know at least more than they know. And we have to have at least a better concept of what all of this thing called a soup is. Because if you don't know what's the ingredients in the soup, if you don't know the taste, the flavor, the smell of the soup, then we're just as bad as they are. And you want to know why folks stop coming? Because they ain't getting no answers. And you want to know why they may go somewhere else? Because they are getting answers, even though the answers may not be the right answer, but they're getting some answers, which seem to be right at the moment. Let me tell you something about the book of Ecclesiastes. First of all, the book of Ecclesiastes is not Solomon sitting back. I know that the book, the preamble to the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of Solomon, the son of David, or he calls himself the preacher. And so Solomon, here it is, he identifies himself as who he is, the son of David, and he is the preacher, or he is the wise person. Can a wise person do dumb things? Of course they can't. He said, yeah. Wise people can do dumb things. Wisdom does not insulate you. Wisdom does not guard you away from doing dumb things. And I know what we do when we try to understand the book of Ecclesiastes, we add this proviso that Solomon was the wisest man to ever have lived beside Jesus. Therefore, the book of Ecclesiastes is a blueprint on how to live. I want to tell you the truth. The book of Ecclesiastes is the furthest thing away from a blueprint on how to live. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes reflect the mindset and the situations of 2017 people more than any of the 66 books in the Bible. Solomon is in a very dark place in his life. Solomon ain't a happy guy. Solomon is an old man. And he's an old man. He's looking back on his life, and he's looking back with nothing but regrets. True story. I'm getting a repair done at the lawn service repair place. And there's me. There is this young guy who's working there. There's a young guy who is standing there, and there's the old guy who is the owner of the place. Well, we're standing there trying to figure things out about what I need repaired. A lady came in, and she must be about 77, 78, knocking on 80. She comes in, and she looks at this young guy who's well-dressed, and she asks him, "Are you married?" I said, no, ma'am. "Oh, don't get married, because they're going to tell you what to do. They're going to run your life." And I'm thinking, here it is, you probably been married 15 times. You know, been married 50 years, and you're going to tell this young man, don't get married. That's the same way that Solomon was. Solomon was an old guy like Mr. Wilson. "Hey, you kid, get off my grass." He looks back at his life with a bunch of regrets, and he tried to tell you, you know how bad life really, really, really is. Life stinks. I know some of y'all got problem with that, because what you do, you read the book of Ecclesiastes with rose-colored glasses as if, and you hear the preacher version of Ecclesiastes that Solomon was a wise man, and he said, and you know, we quote Ecclesiastes, and we quote it, but we quote it without context. We quote it without context. When Solomon said, "There is a time and a season for all things. There is a time to die. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to pluck a plant, and there's a time to pluck up." What is Solomon saying? Yes. Oh, now you're scared. Don't be scared. He didn't want to answer. "Now, it's just my opinion, you know. I'm probably wrong, but it's just my opinion." Go right ahead.
In connection with what Paul said, when I was a child, I thought I was a child. Mm-hmm. I became a man. I thought I was a man. Started putting away childish things.
But okay.
Solomon's trying to say, you know what? A child just does what he wants.
Okay.
He's thinking about any consequences.
Okay.
Wow. You ever hear
the
statement, a fool after 40?
Yeah.
Solomon's saying, if you want to grow up and become a spiritual person, right, you're going to go through making mistakes, insult the people.
Let's polish what you just said. Solomon also said that life is vanity, or it is meaningless. King James Version says, and vexation of the spirit. So Solomon is saying that life is meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. So when he says life is meaningless, 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 and then Solomon said there is a time to live and a time to die, what is Solomon essentially saying?
Time to live is when you need to carry God's word out.
I would agree with that, yeah. Yeah. That's okay, but what you said so far has been pretty good. It ain't what Solomon said, but it was pretty good, you know. I'm messing with you. I think what we're doing, you're giving Solomon too much credit. Solomon is in a bad, bad, bad place, yes.
You know, my older boy, when he was, I want to say, 3 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I think of whenever, you know, the list that you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
That Solomon said here, there are things that are going to be good that we enjoy, things that we don't enjoy, but it's going to happen either way.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And we just need to learn how to accept those things, you know, without losing our faith.
I don't think Solomon, you're right. Solomon said there are going to be good things, there are going to be bad things, but Solomon does not. Solomon, what we do with Ecclesiastes, we read Ecclesiastes unedited. We read it as it is, and then we don't edit. Let's give edit to it. Solomon said there was a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's good stuff, there's bad stuff. But Solomon never says, you know what, but life is all right nonetheless. Solomon is simply whining and complaining. What is missing? Is there a time to live and there's a time to die? What's missing? No, not God. And by the and hold that thought for a second. What's missing? What's missing, young people? There's a time to live and a time to die. What's missing? In between. Well, again, you're giving him too much credit. That's not where Solomon is. Solomon could care less about faith. Solomon is just saying right now, life is meaningless. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. In between is meaningless. So therefore, you know what? He misses all of the life in between. Freddie Anderson, born August 16, 1956, and died October the 21st, 2017. That was yesterday, by the way. I didn't give today's date, you know, so I ain't crazy, you know. So that was yesterday. That was yesterday, right? Okay, all right. What do you have between the two dates? We have time to make life better for someone else and make it better for ourselves. What is the attitude of that prevails today? Well, what do most folk? What's the comment that most people have about life today? Me. Well, it is me, but life sucks. You get a young couple and they've been married just for a few months, and then here it is, they're on the break of dissolving. Life sucks. And you know what you hear on the radio, on the TV, and everything else? Life sucks. And then folk come here. You don't know what their situations are. Life sucks. And then these kids, they go to school, they're in junior high, they're in high school, and some of the meanest folk in the world are junior high people, especially junior high little girls. Wow. Ooh. No wonder your kid comes home and they go to the refrigerator and get out a gallon of ice cream and start eating. Baby, you had a hard day, you know? Yeah. Life sucks and I'm going to eat, you know? But that's how people feel. This is what Solomon is saying. Don't glamorize Solomon. We glamorize Solomon and make Solomon something that he isn't at this particular time. Answer the question, ladies and gentlemen. My brother was so wise when I asked the question, can a wise person do foolishness? Yeah. Here it is. Look what Solomon does. Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines. He ain't too wise. He got 999 too many women, you know. He has stable in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He talks about all of the things that he collected. He was an entrepreneur. He was a collector of women and fine horses. He has stables and vineyards and all of those things. Verse 15, he says, I even had the peculiar treasure of the kings. There was nobody that was my equal. How in the world are you going to have all of this and yet you say it is meaningless? You know what? Any rich person can say life is meaningless because they have everything, you know. And so I have everything and life is meaningless. Poor little rich boy. This is where Solomon is. The way Solomon sees, and God caused Solomon to write the book of Ecclesiastes. He caused him to write the book of Ecclesiastes because that was, or God knew that would be the prevailing attitude of a lot of people, especially someone who is unregenerated, who does not know Christ, who does not know the Lord. And so this is a very worldly perception, a worldly perspective, a worldly attitude that Solomon is talking about. So when people come to us and they tell us, you know what, I'm having trouble. Man, life sucks. Life sucks, man. You got a Bible? Yeah, you talking about Jesus and the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. No, there was a guy in the Bible, Solomon. Oh, yeah, I know Solomon. He wrote the book of Proverbs and all the Proverbs telling the child what to do. No, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Really? Oh, well, it's right there between Proverbs and Song of Solomon. But you know what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes? He said, life sucks. No, yes, he did. Somebody wrote that in, yes. But it doesn't end there. Let me ask you another question. Watch this question. When Solomon says, remember now thy creator, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in the days of your youth, what is Solomon saying? Well, he's saying, don't go the way of the world.
Don't do what I did, do what I say.
I heard that. Yeah, no, I can go with that one, Brother Shan. I think Solomon comes back with that later on. He comes back with that later on when he says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For the total duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. He comes back. But when he says, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. He's getting ready for the hereafter. Nope, it's Solomon whining once again. Because when you read it just a little bit further, he talks about, you know what? You're going to get old. And when you get old, it's over. That's what he says. Now, what we do, yes, we have these youth gatherings and the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days. You don't read the rest of it. The rest of it is him whining and saying, you know what, right now you're young, but guess what, you're going to get old. And when you get old, your days are over. Things have changed. You're going to be scared like you never was before, insecure, and all of those things. He ain't giving a positive statement. He is crying and whining one more time. There was a brother, and nobody's here this morning from Vanderbilt. His name was Carl Yerkes. And I grew very attached to Carl in the Vanderbilt church. And Carl was an old guy. He had his wife had died. He had a machine shop that he had, and he had years ago a piece of metal went into his eye, and back then you didn't have regular surgery. They dug it out and he lost his vision. So now it's just him and his dog. His wife is dead. He's living in a mobile home and he's driving his church. I mean, he's called a church. And this is what Carl said. And Carl says, getting old is hell. You know, Those were his words. He regretted getting old. This is where Solomon is. He's an old guy. And he's looking back on life. In spite of everything he had, he's looking back on life and say, you know what? It's meaningless. But that's not our attitude. It is the attitude of those, they come to us and they ask us questions about life when they have that attitude about life. And we have to kind of be a point of reference to help them to go from leaning this way to being straight up and down, to understand that this is how life is, but it's not some conspiracy. Who do you think Solomon blamed for the way his life turned out? Well, everybody else, but more specifically, who did he blame? Who's the biggest target to blame? God. He blamed God. And in chapter 1, he says that God has put this burden on men's back. He's saying God is pernicious. God does not really care. Because if God was a caring God, he wouldn't let this stuff happen the way that it is. God is to blame, because God knew how life was going to be, and yet he gave us a desire to want better life, but that is not what we're getting. We're not getting better life. We're getting the same thing everybody else have. Solomon said the same fate awaits a man as waits a what? The same fate, F-A-T-E, awaits man that awaits what? A dog. He says we all go to the same place. Now, how can somebody with unparalleled wisdom say that you ain't no better than a dog? And you know what's the attitude of the agnostic, of the atheist? We're nothing, the same thing. We're no better than a dog, because we're all going to die. And Solomon says, and we've used it, that the flesh go back to the dirt and the spirit goes back to God that give it. But stuff ain't no better than a dog. You're going to have the same faith that a dog will have. Any comments or questions? Because you're looking at me like I've grounded up your golden calf. Yes.
And he said that Solomon said thought life is meaningless.
Yes.
He didn't have everything.
Indeed.
Because once you don't have a goal,
yeah,
in life, then you're in the same spot.
Indeed. Beautiful thought. And so it would put Solomon in a predicament that Solomon had everything, so therefore he had nothing else to aspire for. So you know what? Poor little rich boy. Poor little rich boy. Now some of you are going to get in that same kind of, you know, mindset if you let others pull you down into that mindset, because you're going to have, it's going to be you in a group and it's going to be 10 others. And the 10 others are going to be telling you how sorry life is. And then at one point you can say, well, no, it's not really that bad. Oh, yeah, it is. You know, my life, my home life stinks. It sucks. You know what? And my mama and my daddy and everybody else and all the people and all the, their life is all messed up. What do you think my life is going to be? I'm their children. Then after a while you look at them and you start saying, yeah, you're right. It is pretty bad. Yeah. No. If you look at the 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, there is one thing that Solomon does not talk about. Oh, he does talk about something else. He talks about the things that he wanted to do to make himself happy. Let's talk about being happy for a few minutes. What is being happy, y'all?
Content for one thing.
Someone said content. Okay. Anybody else? If I don't get somebody to volunteer, I will draft you.
Realizing that God provides everything.
Okay.
What a person's got to realize.
Okay. All right.
Money's nothing.
Money.
You
okay.
Have it,
yeah. Money is nothing. All right. Okay. Money is nothing, said the rich man. Money is everything, said the poor man. Somebody said something around here. That's what he says. That's what Solomon says. Solomon said, let me tell you something. What you need to do is you eat, you be merry, and you enjoy the wife of your youth. Because guess what? Tomorrow you die. Happy and happiness. Let's talk about it some more. This row. All right. You going to take them for the team, or you going to let them dangle? All right. Okay. All right. Happy and happiness. Tell me about happy and happiness. Why do people do that? When you're looking right at them, they don't. He looking at me, but he talking to you. Tell me about happy and happiness. Let me help you. When you look at the word happy, instead of H-A-P-P-Y, let's spell it H-A-P-P-E-N-S. Happy is dependent upon what? What happens? It is not contentment. Solomon has found, no. Solomon is trying to be happy. If that's what you want in life, being happy is contingent upon what happens.